to do.
Last week we left off on the Gemara Daf Echulin, Daf Yutches Amir Aleph, the two Mishnayos. So we left off about 10 lines before the first Mishnah. Dr. Landsman has Yahrzeit today for his mother, Aleha Hashlom. We dedicate the learning L'zeich HaNishmas Elisha Malkut Zippor Bas Moshe Nosson. So the Gemara has about 10 lines before the first Mishnah. Omer Abba Bahuna, Shen Tlusha, if you have a tooth that's detached from the gums, you have a single tooth, and you're going to shecht. Tooth is very tiny, so it's going to have to cut back and forth many, many times. It's not like a long knife that it's possible to do it in one swoop. It's going to have to fiddle back and forth. So Shen Tlusha. What? Ah, okay. Animal tooth, yeah.
How big
could it be? Yeah. It's Iparin Tlusha, or let's say you have a toenail or a fingernail that's detached from the body. Anything that's sharp, you can shecht with. That was the Mishnah, Bakol Shochtim. You can use anything that's sharp for the purpose of Shechita. So he says, if you have a tooth that's detached from the gums, or you have a nail that's detached, Tlusha, Muta Lishchet Bo L'Hatchil, it's permissible L'Hatchil, to Shecht, there's no halacha that has to be Dafke, metal, or anything like that. Feg de Gemara Kasha, V'Hanan Tanan, Chutz Mimagol Kotze, V'Hamagira, V'Hashinayim, V'Hatzipar, M'nei Shehen Chonkim. That was the last Mishnah that we had. That's why the Gemara quotes it over here. That was the Mishnah on Daf Tezvav on the base. The Mishnah said, Bakol Shochtim, you can use any sharp instrument. The Gemara said, a blade of grass, a sharp piece of glass, metal, wood, whatever. Chutz, and it says, Shinaim is not acceptable. Teeth are not good. And Tziporin is not acceptable. Says, Tachpunk Faker. How does he say that? Shein is good, Tziporin is good. And for the Gemara, there's no steer. Shein Hashein Loi Kasha. There's no contradiction between the Brisa that this Amora, Rabba Bar Avuna, was quoting a Tosefta. So the Tosefta that he quoted says Shein, one tooth. The Mishnah says Shinayim in the plural. So Shein Hashein Loi Kasha Habichad Habitarti. If you only have one tooth, that's not a problem. It's very narrow, so you have to fiddle back and forth quite a few times. Habitarti, but if you have two teeth, And you're holding them together and you're rubbing like this, so there's going to be a gap in between. So that's a pegima. There's always going to be a little gap in between the teeth. So that's like shechting with a knife that has a pegima that is going to rip at the point where there's a break between one tooth and the other. There's going to be a pegima. Tziporin, you can't give that teretz because the Mishnah says tziporin and the Tosefta says tziporin. They're both in the singular. So you can't say tziporinayim. And there's going to be a gap in between. But he gives a different teretz. Tziporin loy kasha. That's not a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Tosefta. Hobit lusha, hobit mechuberes. The Mishnah says you can shecht. Mishnah says you cannot shecht with a tziporin. That goes that the tziporin is still attached to the body of the animal, or still attached to the body of the person. So we learned, as and Rashi explains, there was a machloikas on Tezvav Amid Beis when we started that sugya, machloikas Rebbe and Reb Chiya. So we passed like Rebbe against Reb Chiya, that shecht ben mechuber is no good. And mechuber is not only no good if it's mechuber lekarka, if it's something growing on a tree, even if it's mechuber to the lamppost, which doesn't, not the rooted in the ground, it's cemented into the ground, and even mechuber to a balchai is also considered mechuber. Mechuber is no good. Oh, so that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say you have the finger, and to be able to shecht, let's say you have a knife, so you shecht with the blade, but you have to have a handle in order to be able to hold on to it. So you don't say, you can't shecht with a blade that's attached to a handle because it's mechuber to the handle. That's not mechuber to the handle. A handle is one kli. Yeah. That's how you use it. So if you have a finger, even if you have a hand of an animal, and the reason why you want to hold it on the hand because it's easier to shecht like that. So then the whole hand or the whole finger will be considered like a handle to hold on to the tziporin. But let's say the tziporin is attached to the whole leg of the animal. Or the animal is still alive. The animal is still alive. Or the person is still alive is going to shecht with his fingernail. So for Malika, it has to be Dafka. When you do Malika on an Oif Shal Kachim, on Karbanis, do Malika with a Tziporim, with a fingernail, that's Dafka attached. If you do Shchita on a Oda Soif or a Chata Soif, it'll be Posel. That's going to be a Mishnah later in this parak. But by Chulin, it's Punk Farkert. If you Shecht with your fingernail that's still attached to the body, that's Mechuber and that's Posel. You have to Dafka Shecht with Klusha. So the Tosefta that Rabbi Baravuna quoted said, "Sen shen tlusha v'tziporn tlusha mutalusha." Tlusha means that it's not attached. But if it's attached to the whole leg, and it doesn't really make it easier to shecht by holding onto the leg. If it's attached to the toe or attached to the foot, maybe, so then the whole foot can be considered the handle of the blade. Yeah.
When Rashi says balechayim, does it have to be alive, or this means a body? It doesn't mean alive.
A big animal. Yeah, it doesn't have to be alive. Even if it's not alive, it's called mechuber. It's a different din of mechuber. It's each place there's a different din. Here it means it's something more than the blade and the handle. The difficulty is that the Mishnah says if you shecht with shinaim and tziporin, it's not acceptable b'nei she'en chonkim. Chonkim means, let's say, instead of shechting an animal with a knife to cut the condemnation, I choke the animal to death. So that's chanikah, so that's not shechita, it's no good. What if you shecht with a knife that has a pegima? So we are concerned that the first part of the shechita will, let's say, going pulling it towards you. The first part will shecht the condemnation with the sharpness of the knife. And then when you get to the pegima, it's going to rip a little bit. So we understand what it means, chonkim. But if you tell me that the Mishnah is talking about one tzipor and one fingernail, not tzipor naim, there is no gap in between. Talking about one tzipor. And the reason why it's no good is because it's mechuber to the whole goof of the Baal Chai. So how is that the explanation? Mnei she'en chonkim. That's not the true explanation. The explanation is because mnei she'hu mechuber. It's a different reason. The Mishnah says, a magal kotzer and a megira. Megira is a saw, is no good. A magal kotzer is a sickle that you harvest with. That's no good because chonkim, because it's going to rip. So it's like choking the animal. You're not shechting, but the sharpness is going to tear because you have a pegima. But then when you say tziporin is no good, and the Gemara says habet lusha, habet mechuberes. So that's problematic. It's a problem. I don't know. Tosfos on our daf doesn't see what the problem. Doesn't even see that it's a problem. The other Mishnayim think that it is a problem. How can the Mishnah? How can you interpret the reason for the Mishnah that it's no good because it's mechuber? Mechuberis, the tzipar mechuberis. So the explanation that the Mishnah gives, chonkim, is difficult. Okay? But that's how the Gemara says. Then the Mishnah repeats the same theme from before. Sometimes you have a sickle that if you pull in one direction, it'll do shchita because the pegima is in the other direction. You'll always be cutting with a sharp edge. And there's nothing there that's gonna rip anything. But if you check in the other direction, then it's gonna tear. Then it's full of pegimas, it's gonna tear. So what's the din? Hashechet b'magal kotzir. He has a sickle that you usually use for harvesting purposes, and it has all the pegimas are all in one direction. So if you pull the knife towards you, it's gonna be a good shechita. But if you're gonna fiddle back and forth, so then pulling in the other direction is gonna rip. So what if you were careful? You know that it has pegimas in one direction, the other direction is good. So you shecht only by pulling in one direction. So that should be good. So I understand why l'chatchila you shouldn't do it, because you may by mistake you pull it in the wrong direction. But meretach not l'chatchila. Hashechet b'di'evet, the Mishnah. Hashechet b'di'evet, if he shechted b'magol kotze b'derech halichosa, in the way that it is acceptable, so it should be good. So b'shamay poislim b'nemeru chumra m'derabbanan, that even b'di'evet. Beisilal also agreed l'chatchila you shouldn't do. Beishamei hold that they made a chumer midrabbanan that even b'di'evet if you were careful to shecht one direction toignish because you may by mistake do in the other direction.
You take out the sock in, take it out, and go back again
Yeah, you go in one direction, no pegimas, then take it out, then you go again. Yeah, the ish question of shehiyah. Yeah, so we have to learn the dinim of shehiyah. So we're machma on any shehiyah koldehu. We're always machm. We have to learn the Gemara. Yeah, but Mikra Adin, Shia is only a psul if you pause a lot. You have to have a significant amount of pause in the middle. Yeah. There's a din, let's say a person is davening Shmona Esrei. And then immediately has to go to the bathroom. So let's say he goes to the bathroom for 5 minutes. He can't daven while he's in the bathroom. 5 minutes, he could have said the whole Shema Nesher from the beginning to the end. You judge how long would it take for an Adam Beinoni to daven. So if, let's say, a person goes on a Hatzalah call, he's in the middle of Shema Nesher, he goes on a Hatzalah call, so he has to run. And then he comes back and he wants to finish the Shema Nesher. So we have a dinim shoha. If he paused so long in the middle of the Shemana Esrei that he could have davened the whole Shemana Esrei from the beginning to the end, so that's mevatel the tziruf of the first half to the second half. Same thing, let's say a Mikra Megillah. They're reading the Megillah and then something happens. There's a bomb scare and everybody runs out of the shul. And then it comes out, there's nothing, and they come back an hour and a half late. Could have read the whole Megillah from the beginning to the end. An hour and a half doesn't take so long to read the whole Megillah. Any mitzvah that takes a while and you paused in the middle and you need a tziruf of everything altogether and you paused in the middle so long, you could have finished from the beginning to the end, you could have done the whole thing. So that's a machlekes in the Gemara, whether that's mevatel the tziruf or not, and details how we paskan la halacha.
If he shechts a whole day long, that's not considered shiur, right?
If he's shechting, if he keeps on shechting and he doesn't pause, he has a blunt knife and it's going to take him a long time to shech. So the Gemara says that that's not shechiah, that doesn't pose a problem. So here in shechita, there's such a din also of shechiah. If he shechs and then he...
Tekiahs don't need tziruf.
Tekiahs also, the Gemara talks about tekiahs. No, that's the machlekes. So the one who says shama teisha tekiahs, you have to blow tekiah, trua tekiah three times. So the Gemara says if he heard the nine sounds, the tekiah, trua tekiah, tekiah, trua tekiah, tekiah, trua tekiah, if he heard it 9 hours of the day, one tekiah at 7 o'clock, and then the trua at 10 o'clock, and so on. So the Gemara says it's good, and that's a disagreement. But the other one who says that shok de ligma skula does pasal. That's a machlekes whenever you have a mitzvah that takes a long time. We do it all the time by duchening. The Kohanim say Yerech Hashem, and then everybody starts saying a tefillah in the middle. And there's a long pause till they finally say V'yishmarecha. So the Mishnah Berurah says if they sing a niggin, it helps out. That's why the Kohanim sing a niggin between Yerech Hashem and Yishmarecha. It should be a hemshech, as if they're still saying something. Mishnah Berurah recommends that you shouldn't pause in the middle. He says if there's no minig, if there's no clear-cut meaning in the community, so then the Kohanim should say V'yishmerecha, and then the Kohel should say the Tefillah after they finish the Pasuk. Yerushalayim Panam Alecha V'yichonecha, they should say V'yichonecha, and then the Kohel should say the Tefillah afterwards. It shouldn't say the Tefillah in between the next to the last word and the last word. What do you mean if there's no minig kavu in the kila? All over the world they do like that. In Eastern Europe, everybody does like that. What do you mean? It means if you can get away with it. If the rabbi can get away with it. In some shuls you're going to change the meaning about the bottom will fire the rabbi. So if the rabbi thinks he can get away with it, so the Mishnah Berurah says he should change the meaning, not to pause in the middle of a pasuk, because it's going to be a shock at
the
Lig Moskul. That's a strong kasha on the Mishnah Berurah. Why is he only worried in the middle of a pasuk? Why isn't he worried on from the beginning to the end of the whole duchening? It's anyway going to be shok delik maskula. Why does he think that he solved the problem? That's a pill on the Mishnah Berurah. Why is he only worried on Minei Yudei in one pasuk? Should have been worried on the whole thing. So that inyan of shok delik maskula, the Mishnah Berurah has it by duchening, the Mar has it by davening and by kriyashma and by tkiya shofar and by mikra megillah. And here, so that's a machlokes how you paskin. Different opinions in the Rishonim. And here, by shechita, the pashtus is, we'll have to see more. Here, by shechita, the pashtus is, if you shecht a little bit, let's say, by behem, you have to shecht the kona and the veshet. Veshet is behind the kona. So let's say he shechts the kona, and then he waits a half an hour, he davens mincha, and then he shechts the veshet. So he paused so long, he could have done the whole shechita from the beginning to the end in a half hour. So the second half of the shechita will not be mitzvah to the first half of the shechita, and that's the psul of shehir, if you pause in the middle. Yeah. So we're machma, we'll have to see the Gemara later. We're machma, even on a shehir called the hu, we're machma. We'll have to learn why.
If I'm davening Shema Nesrei and I'm slower than a chazan, and now they're in the middle of Kedusha already, so I'm supposed to be quiet during Kedusha, right? But what if the Kedusha they're singing for 5 minutes? Like on a Shabbat Muslim.
I mean, should you continue davening Shemone Esrei?
Or should I sing?
I don't think so. No, no. I don't think it's right to daven Shemone Esrei then, because I think you want to have a tziruf between Kadosh, 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 and Baruch Kvod Hashem Emkomo. You want to have the two mitzuruf to each other. So if you're going to, you're in the middle of Olam Hashinim, you're going to say Olam Hashinim in between Kadosh and Baruch. So there's no tziruf between your Kadosh and Baruch. You are mafsik in the middle of the Kedusha. Even though you're not saying Kadosh and Baruch, you're just paying attention. You're being Yotzer with Shemek Kaina. The Chazan is going to say Kadosh out loud. The only time it makes sense to do that practice, Rashi quotes that from the Halachas Gedolos, if I'm in the middle of the Shtil Shemone Esrei, and the Tzibur is up to Kedusha, and the Chazan is going to say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh out loud. A lot of shuls, he doesn't say out loud. He just says, Liu Masam Baruch Yomeru. And he says, Divya Kachacha Kosav Lema. He doesn't say the Pasik Kadosh and doesn't say the Pasuk Baruch out loud. But if the, so then there's no nothing gained if you're going to pause. We say here is Lavka Dibadami. You're not Yotzei Kedusha by just being the Hara, by thinking about Kadosh Kadosh. The Halachas Kedoilos was quoted by Rashi in Brachas in the Sukkah, says if the Chasen says the Pasuk Kadosh out loud, so you should be Yotzei with Shemekan, you should stop davening Shemone Esrei, you're up to Balam Hashidim, you should stop and pay attention to the Chasen. To be yotze with shemei koine, so then it's not right, and then he's going to sing a long niggun in the middle. So I think it's not correct to continue davening shemone esrei. Then you'll be mafzik in between your being yotze kadosh and baruch. Those two are supposed to be mitzuref together without a hafsaka in between. Yeah.
But you're waiting because you're thinking to stop.
I mean, if it's going to be shok delik maskul, it's going to be a long pause. So forget about being yotze kedusha. Okay. It's a machlokes. Does that make sense? Rashi quotes from the Sefer Halachas Gedolos when the days of the Gaonim that if the Chazan is up to Kedush and he's going to say Kadosh Kadosh out loud, you should stop davening Shemone Esrei and pay attention to the Chazan and be yotze with Shemei Koine. So Tosfos says it doesn't make sense. Mimonavshach, if you hold Shemei Koine, so then it's a hafsoka in the middle of the Shemone Esrei. Because you're being Yotzei Kedusha in the middle. If your Shemek is not Kaina for some reason or another, so then what do you gain? You're not being Marviach anything, so not being Yotzei Kedusha. But the minig is, Tosfos admits, that the minig is like the Halachas Gedolos.
That you listen.
Yeah, but if it's going to be Shok Delik Maskula, then you don't. Then you just ignore it. Then you pay attention to Kadosh, and then you hope and you pray that the Chaz is going to get to Baruch soon. And if you see it's taking too long, then you just forget about it. Just continue davening Shemone Esrei. I used to do like the Halachas Gedolos says, that if you're in the middle of the Shtil Shemone Esrei, the Chazan is up to Kedusha, and he's saying Kadosh out loud, so you pay attention. I don't do that anymore, because I always used to put my finger on the place in the Siddur what I'm up to. And then after the Kedusha would be over, I wouldn't remember whether it's on this side of the page or that side of the page. I got too confused. I stopped doing that. I have to have a good head to be able to concentrate on the Kedushin, to be able to remember where you're up to in the Shemone Esrei. Yep. So the Mishnah has this Gzeira Derabbanan here. You have a knife that only has Pegimus in one direction, the other direction is not Pegimus. So Lechatchila, they both agreed. The Mishnah called Hashechet B'dievet. Lechatchila B'shilal also agreed. There's a Din Derabbanan here. You shouldn't use a Magal Kotzer, because you may do the Shechita in the wrong direction, and it'll be full of pegimus. But what a b'dieved, you did the shechita in the correct direction, and you were careful not to do it in the wrong direction. So b'sham I say, the gzera the rabbanon is even also b'dieved, because next time, but this time is good. Next time you may make a mistake. Mesillah say no, there's no gzera b'dieved. The gzera is only lechatchila. V'im hechliku shineha, what if you have a magol kotzir, you have this sickle that has pegimus in one direction, and you sharpened the whole thing, and you made it into one smooth hemshach. So there's no pegimus at all. So then it's good. Then there's no problem. Areik esakin, then it's a regular knife, even though it's a little up and down, up and down. So the Gemara says, the Gemara said before that what did the Gemara say? The three dinim in a sakin. If it's ogeres, if it's going to have a real pegima, it's going to catch the meat. So then it passes. Okay. And if it's mesuchseches, so then lechatchila shouldn't do. But if it's oil of a yore, then it's even good. The knife goes up and down. As long as it's one hemshech of a sharp knife, that's good.
What's the
Even though it's Olav Yared, even though it wasn't manufactured originally, initially as a normal knife, it's not going to be straight. It's going to go up and down, but there's nothing that's going to catch the meat. There's no pigim at all.
Chalika doesn't mean a straight thing, it means just...
Chalika means I sharpened it so there's no pigimus. But it's not going to be straight, it's going to be oil of a yarid. So that's what the Gemara said, that oil of a yarid is good l'chatchila. The Gemara said that there were three dinim. So oil of a yarid is good l'chatchila. This is a strange Gemara. The next Gemara is strange. Omer Abchia Barabu Omer Rabbi Yechon. He quotes in the name of Rabbi Yechon a chiddush. That even though there's a machlokes bishame b'silo, we pass like b'silo. B'silo say b'di'eved, it's good. It's only good. The din is that if an animal didn't have a proper shchita, it's an avela that you're not allowed to eat it, and it's an avela that it's metame b'maga b'masa. If you have the shmona shvatzim, the eight rodents that are listed off of the chumash, so they're metame when they're dead, metame b'maisim. That's only metame b'maga. If you have a dead animal, it didn't have a proper shchita. You have meat in the AMP. So that's not only metame b'maga, that's metame b'masa. Let's say it's wrapped up in a package. So when I touch it, there is no maga because I'm not touching the nevela meat. But if I pick it up, so that's metame b'masa. And then if you have a meis adam, a human being died, that's metame not only b'maga b'masa, metame b'ohel. Even if you're in the same room, it's metame. So Rabbi Yochanan says a chiddush. So if you have an animal that didn't have a, you shechted it, but the shechita had pegimus. The knife had pegimus. And it was ripping. So not only is it an avela that it's also b'achila, it's an avela that it's b'tamei b'maga m'masa, has tumen. So Rabbi Yechanan claims a chiddush afke shehechshira beis hillel, we paskin like beis hillel, that b'di'evid the shechita is good if you did it, you were careful. Only to do it in the one direction with the round up pigimus, the chshira ele the tarmide nevela, they're only mekel b'di'evid that it doesn't have tumas nevelas, ava b'achila asura, but you're not allowed to eat it. They're maskin with beis shamai, that there's a gzera derabanan, that if you shechted, even b'di'evid, if you shechted with a knife that has pigimus in one direction, and you personally were careful, even b'di'evid it's asim b'achila, because next time you may make a mistake. They're only mekel in b'di'evid to tumen. So that's Rabbi Yechanan's din. Omer Ravashi, so Ravashi says, Ravashi lived in Bavel. Rabbi Yechanan was the first generation of Amoraim, lived in Eretz Yisrael. He was a student of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. So Ravashi was way later. He was Ravina Ravashi with the end of the days of the Amoraim. Then came the Rabbanus Havarai and the Gainim after that. So Amar Ravashi, Dekanami, I could be Medayik from the Mishnah that Rabbi Yechanan is right. Rabbi Yechanan got it from the Lashon HaMishnah. Why? Diktonim Bishamei Poisle Basilim Machshirim. Was for a Poislim and Machshirim. It should say Oisrim and Matirim. Bishamei Aser Bachila. Basilim says Muta Bachila. The fact, Dekanami, it's Meduik and the Mishnah, Diktonim Bishamei Poislim, the Pasal Eshchita Basilim Machshirim, it's a Kosher Eshchita. Well, like Tony, it doesn't say the normal way we would have written Mishamei Oisim Basilim Matir. So that's a raya that it only goes on Tumas Nevela. It doesn't go on Bachila. Bachila, even Basilil agree that there's a Gzera de Rabban. That's Rav Ashi's raya. He says, Rav Yechanan got it from the Diyuk Loshon HaMishnah. So the Gemara asks Rav Ashi, it doesn't make any sense. What kind of a hechoch is that? According to your way of thinking, Rav Ashi, why doesn't it, if the Machlek is Bisham Yisrael only goes on Tumah Betara? Listening should say like this, Bishamei Metamim, Ubisil Metaharim. Say that you're talking about Tumah Vetar. Elo Zog Di Gemara, the Mishnah is not Meduyak anything. Elo Poisle Machshem, V'yosem Matim Chodem Ilso, Dizal Bezach, it's all the same. If you Pasol, the Shechita is going to be Metame, and it's going to be Yosser. If you're Machshirim, Bisil say Machshirim, it should be Mutabachir, it should be not Metame at all. So there's no Haychocha to Rabbi Yechanan at all. So Rashi has. What do you mean only by behemoth, not by Ophir? Nivla Saif Tohar also has Tumah, but not when you touch it, only Metame if you swallow it. Metame Beis Abliya, right. It's a unique din, special din. So the Poshib Shat and the Gemara, the Rabbi Yechanan is upgefrekt. The whole vort of Rabbi Yechanan, that Pisilah Lamoide Bediyevit, it's also Bachile. They're only makel b'di'evid when they get to Tumah B'tara. The whole thing was based on a diak in the Mishnah that's non-existent. So the whole vart of Rabbi Yechanan is wrong. So Rashi says, not so. So Rashi says the last line before, when it says in Rashi Masnisen, the second time in Rashi it says Masnisen, that's the second Mishnah. So the line before that, Rashi ends off, Amihu, the Siyaita, the Hoichachef in the Mishnah, the Rabbi Yechanan is right, falls off, Mir the Rabbi Yechanan Isa. But what Rabbi Yechanan said is correct. The Gemara Gomalei Mirabba, Rabbi Yechanan was a student of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. He learned by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. So when he taught him Mishnayis in class, he told him that's what it means in the Mishnah. So what Ravashi said is upgefrekt. The Gemara Shlok Zap, Ravashi said, Dekanami, Rabbi Yechanan got it from the Diuk in the Mishnah. So Rashi didn't get it from the Diuk, so the Tokin Diuk, Rabbi Yechanan heard it from his Rebbe, so that's the Pshat. The Rif also has like that. Very surprising. The Rif and the Rosh, all the Rishonim, they assumed like Rashi. I didn't look thoroughly. There must be some Rishonim who disagree, because the Pashup Shat and the Gemara is not so. Pashup Shat, Ravashi says he has a Hoichach of the Mishnah. Then when you shlug up the Hoichach, so the whole member of Rabbi Yechanan is up Gifrek. So Rashi and the Rif and the Rambam, they all, most of the Rishonim, they all say not so. They say no, Rabbi Yechanan's word is correct. He heard it from Rabbi. He learned by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. He heard it from his Rabbi. And it's not Meduik in the Mishnah. It's not based on any Diyukim. But that's the tradition, that's what the Mishnah means. Okay.
What makes sense, I think. Rav Rashi is giving his own reason. If you look at Rav Rashi, it has like Rav Yochanan. Like, this is what Rav Yochanan means. Who said Rav Yochanan meant that?
Okay. That's what the Rishonim say. I found it surprising, though. I thought that the Pashtus is, that the whole thing is up different. Okay? Well, the Rishonim say, like you. Yeah. Okay. The next Mishnah is going to talk about Hagrama. We had the Gemara before. The Chumash says, that, again, just to review what we learned here, the 40 years of the Midbar, something was different in Hilchas Shechita, because the Torah says, when you'll come to Eretz Yisrael, and the people will live all over, far away from the Beis HaMikdash, they won't be able to bring Karbanos. So the Rabbanu Shlomo says, Zavachta kasher tzvi sichu, yishu shechta. Obviously something changed. So what's changed? So that was a machlekes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Ishmael. So Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that was on Yud Zayinim and Aleph, on Tez Zayinim and Beis and Yud Zayinim and Aleph. So we assume like Rabbi Akiva that in the Midbar there was a din nevela mesa me'elehu was also b'achila, but if you shecht it with nechiras, even if you shecht with a saw that has begimis and you have shia, and instead of fiddling back and forth you push down like this, as long as it did nechiras simanim and atzavar, if you shoot the animal, it bleeds to death, or you choke it to death, that's not a proper shechita. But if you had a knife and you killed the animal by cutting the neck, so that's a proper shechita for 40 years in the Midbar. And then when they crossed over the Yarden, a new din set in. It was told to Moshe Rabbeinu that the 40 years in the Midbar and the Chiras Zoi Shechitasai, when they cross over the Yarden, you have to have a Zavachta, you have to shecht chulon kasher tzivisicha, the same way I commanded you to shecht karbonis. The Gemara says, karbonis Rabbi Akiva agrees. All the 40 years in the Midbar, they had a shecht karbonis with the chamish el cheshchita. But only the chulin, they didn't need all the chamish el cheshchita. When they crossed over the Yarden, then Besar Taiva was mutter, and then the way to do the Besar Taiva has to have zavachta kashet tzivisicha. So the Gemara says that the Gemara says in the second paragraph, the two words kashet tzivisicha has the added connotation that there's a Torah Shebal Peh over here. What are the Chomish of Cheshchita that were Nimsur through Torah Shebal Peh? So we had already before Shehiya, Derosa, Chaloda, Hagroma, V'yikah. So Shehiya, we just spoke a little bit. If you shecht the Kana, and then you David Minchen, then you shecht the Veshet, and there was a pause of 15 minutes in between. You could have shechted the whole Behemoth in that amount of time. So that's Shehiya. So it passes the Shechit. Fine. Then one of the other psulim, Derosa, we spoke a little bit. Derosa means, if I take a sharp knife and I push down, you always have to push down. But if you only push down, you don't fiddle back and forth, that's called drasa. You have to place pressure down by pushing back and forth. If you push down without fiddling back and forth, that's called drasa. And then you have the din of hagrama. So what does hagrama mean? So hagrama means a giraffe is a kosher animal because it's malager mafris parsa. Rav Sadia Goyen has his Arabic translation of the Chumash, so he translates one of the animals that the Chumash mentions as a kosher animal, he writes the Arabic word for a giraffe. So people said, how come we don't shecht giraffe? How come nobody eats giraffe? So he said, because you're not on the way to shecht. What do you mean you're on the way to shecht? It's easier. Anywhere you want to shecht. Anywhere over there, the whole neck, anything is good. So that, but there are limitations. And so in an animal, there are limitations. There's an upper point and a lower point. If you shech too high, that's not called the kana, that's called the lechi. And if you shech too low, that's the lungs. You're shechting in the lungs already. So there's an upper point and a lower point. So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss here. What is the upper point? And what the lower point is, that's going to be discussed later. So now the Mishnah has the the windpipe. We had last week, 2 weeks ago, when we were learning, the Gemara said when you bodek the knife to see if there are any pegimas, you have to be bodek both on your fingernail, to have the fingernail pass on the edge of the knife to see if the nail will get caught on the neck, and then you have to pass the flesh also. Why? So the Rosh explained, because you're going to shech the kana, you're going to shech the veshet. So the kana, the windpipe, has cartilage. So that's similar to the fingernail. So you have to shech, you have to be bodek the sakin with the fingernail to see whether this begima would get caught on the cartilage of the kana. Then you have to shech, you have to check the for pegimas on a knife with your flesh of your finger to go over, because you're going to shech the veshet. The veshet is all soft flesh, so you want it. Sometimes there'll be a pegima that'll catch cartilage, but it won't catch flesh. Sometimes there'll be a pegima that'll catch flesh, won't catch cartilage. So you have to check for both. So here you, so you're talking about, this Mishnah is talking about hagrama. What's the upper point on the windpipe that you can shech? So the Gemara is going to explain the top. The top tabas, the top piece of the windpipe, is cartilage all the way around, and all of the units below it have something like 90% cartilage around, and then 10% is flesh. And then in between one tabas and the other tabas, you have flesh. It's not cartilage straight through. You have one tabas, another tabas, like rings on top of each other. So the Mishnah says, "Hashech mitocha tabas." He shechts in the upper, the top tabas. That's the highest place he can shecht. If you shecht above that, it's hagrama. You're shechting in the throat. That's, you have to shecht the windpipe. That's too high up is considered the jaw already. So shechet. He shechted in the windpipe, and you have a mashahu left of the cartilage above the place where you shechted, so you're safe. But if you shechted above, and there's no cartilage left at all, there's just the flesh left, that's hagrama, that's too high up. Tanakama says, you have to have a mashahu of cartilage left above the whole thing that you cut. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakam, and he says, Malo hachut al pnei ruba, because the Mishnah says the beginning of the second parak that this is one of the areas where we apply the klal of ruba kukulai. That's the opening Mishnah of Zainam and Aleph, the opening Mishnah in the second parak. When you shecht a chicken, it's enough to shecht either the kona or the veshet. Simen echot. When you shecht the behemo, a chayo, you have to shecht shnei simonim. And if you shecht roiv of echod, in a knife, a roiv of shnaim in the behema, so you say ruba kukula. So that's what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says. Why is it that, why does the Tanakhama say you have to shecht all the way across the whole kone, the windpipe? You have to have a mashahu left of the kone above the incision that you did. As long as you shecht the two-thirds, let's say, in the right place, and then you wait up, shalobim kama, and you shecht the last one-third. What do I care? Once you already shecht the two-thirds, ruba kukuloi. So it's already a kosher reshchita for the kana. Yeah.
This mission is different from the psula reshchita that we learned till now, which was the method of shechting. This is the mokam reshchita.
Right.
Is the principle the same all over tzav al chayim? Whether this is really telling us where there's less tzav al chayim,
could be.
It's all tzav al chayim.
Could be. I don't know. The Gemara never says that. That could be. That could be. It's not the same. It is correct. It's not the same. The others are, the method was incorrect. We'll soon discuss it.
That would be very significant. If the theme is tzav al chayim, how do you have machlokes and what constitutes Shia? They didn't have the scientific principles.
Yeah.
Today.
Okay. Yeah. So here the Mishnah has a machlokes if he shechted all the way across the kana, so the Tanakhama says you have to have a mashu who left above the incision. And it's not sufficient if Raiv Ruba Kukula, if he would have stopped in the middle after shechting two-thirds of the kana, he would stop in the middle and then shecht the veshit, everything would be fine. He didn't stop in the middle. He shechts two-thirds where it's bimkomo, then he cuts up a little bit, and the last third of the kana, he shechts in a higher location where it's no good. That's Hagrama. So Tanakhama says that that makes Nevela. Rabbi Yisrael Rebbe disagrees. What does it make Nevela? It's sufficient if you have Maloich Achut al Pnei Rubai. Once you reach two-thirds, it's Ruba Kukula, the Shechit on the Kana is finished. You didn't Shech the Veshit yet. Okay, but the Shechit on the Kana is Gandik. So what does it bother me if you continue to Shech Shalobim Koma, the last one-third? That doesn't make it Nevela. You don't need that. See, that's a famous machlokes later, Rashi and Tosis. Rashi and Tosis have a machlokes later. What's the din of shoha b'miyot simonim? Where's the daf lamed on the base? The Gemara in the second perek talks about the shehiya. So here there's a long tosfos lamed on the base. Dibra mascha hechled b'miyot simonim. So the Gemara has a suffix. What's the din if the Sheikh did shehiyah b'miyot simanim? What do the words mean, b'miyot simanim? So Rashi learns that it means like this. He shechted the kana. First, usually the kana is over here. Then behind the kana shechts the veshet, rive of the veshet, two-thirds of the veshet. Then he takes a break to dav mincha. And then he wants to, and the animal is still jumping around. So if he takes his hand and he breaks the neck and he rips the rest of the neck, it's not going to make it in a vela. He already finished the shechit. If he takes a gun and he shoots the animal in the heart, or he cuts the legs off and it bleeds to death or whatever, that's not going to make it in a vela. The shaila is, what if he takes the knife back again and he continues to do the miyut basra? He already shechted the whole kana and he already shechted two-thirds of the veshet, and then he took a pause for mincha, half an hour. And then he takes the same person takes the same knife without pegimas, and he cuts the miut basra. So should I say this was a shechita b'shehiya, and shechita b'shehiya is pasul? Or you say, what do you mean shechita b'shehiya is pasul? There is no such din. If you shech the kana and then you wait a half an hour, then you shech the veshet, so you need a tzirup between the kana and the veshet. So just like there's a din when you daven shman esrei and when you lay the megillah and when you duchen and when you blow shofar. Whenever you're doing a mitzvah that takes, say, Kriya Shema, whenever you do a mitzvah that takes a while, if you're going to have a pause in the middle for such a long amount of time, you could have done the whole mitzvah from the beginning to the end. Could have said the whole Shemana Esrei from the beginning to the end. During that pause, so there's no tzirif between the beginning and the end, and the brachas of the Shemana Esrei, Ma'akim Zezeh. So the Bashkita also like that. A shech tekone and the behemah, that's not enough. You have to shech tekone and the beishit. So I pause for half an hour, then I shech the veshet. Half an hour? It doesn't take half an hour to shech an animal from the beginning to the end. The whole thing doesn't take so long.
The animal was dead at that time. The animal was dead.
Well, if the animal is dead already, if he daven mincha, the animal will be dead. So, oh shayla. But the shayla is, let's say, the animal is still jumping around. It's not dead. Far-fetched, okay. Let's say the animal is not dead yet. And he takes the knife and he continues to shech the miut basra, which he really didn't have to do. He should have stopped when he was ahead. But if he didn't stop when he was ahead, and he shechts the miyud basra b'shehiya, so Rashi learns that's the Gemara's ibay d'leiv shita, and it's a suffix that raisa l'chumra. So Rashi says that mi suffix, the Gemara says teku, it's an ibay, and the Gemara does no answer. So Rashi goes l'chumra on that. That's how Rashi learns shol b'miyud simonim. He did shehiya and the miyud basra after finishing the whole shechita. So Tosfos there has a long Tosfos on laman amin beis. Tosfos says it doesn't make any sense. How can it be? Yeah, it's over already. The animal is already kosher geshachten. So what does it bother us? What he's going to do later? He can't make it into a nevela. Whatever he's going to do later is not going to make it a nevela. So Rashi has a chiddush. Rashi holds if you do shechita b'shehiya, the whole shechita is psula. The whole shechita is pasul. They used to ask people who learned Yeridaya, so they used to ask them trick questions. So one of the trick questions that they used to ask used to go like this. Hey, Chitimtze, how is there a possibility that you did a shechit in such a way that the leg of the animal is nishchat and the rest of the animal is nevela? How is that possible? It's impossible. It's possible the leg is kosher and the rest of the flesh I cooked with milk. So I made it into basa b'cholov. How can you have the leg is kosher geshochten and the rest of the animal is nevela? So they used to say the answer is, according to Rashi, I shechted the kone and I shechted roiva the reshet, the shechita is over. Then I chopped off the leg and the leg is kosher geshochten. Then I take the knife. 15 minutes later, 20 minutes, I take the knife, I continue to shech. So the Velt used to say that the leg is not going to become the veil, and the leg was detached already. Only what's still attached to the animal now. The Pashta says that it's wrong. The Pashta says that according to Rashi, if you shech b'shehiya, so the whole shechita from the beginning to the end. See, the other Rishonim say, how can it be? Shehiya? Shehiya means that there's no tziruf. There's no tziruf, so who cares? You don't need the last part should be mitzuruf to the first part. I already completed the whole shechita in the first part. So Rashi is saying, no, that's one din of shehiya, that there's no tziruf. And even when you don't need a tziruf, to shech the mir basa is not necessary. So there's no issue of tziruf. There's another din. If you shech b'shehiya, the whole shechita is a shechita psula from the beginning, not just whatever is attached to the animal after you shecht, and after you do the shechita and then you continue to shecht, that'll be nevela. The leg that you cut off will also be nevela. I declare the whole shechita from the beginning to the end was a shechita psula. A shechita done with shechita is a shechita psula. A shechita psula makes nevela. Even the leg that was detached will also be nevela.
What if you already ate the leg?
So okay, turn out that he ate nevela. Well, turn out that he ate nevela. Okay. Doesn't make it worse. Same thing goes away to get better or worse. So Tosfos says this is impossible. Tosfos never heard of such a thing. Psul and shechita. He already finished the shechita. How can there be a psul? That's how Rashi holds.
That's
how Rashi learns. Miyot simanu means the miyot basra. After he already shechted the kona and he already shechted 2/3 of the veshet, and then he does chalada, he does a psul in the miyot basra that wasn't even necessary to shecht it. It was good the way it is. He could have stopped when he was ahead. If he would have stopped, it would have been kosher. But because he continues to shech, so Rashi learns that that's an ibayd leiv shita and the Gemara and speaker there, Rashi lechumer, that you're not allowed to eat it. So there, that long Tosfos on Lamed Amud Beis says, well, how does this compare with the Mishnah that we just saw over here? The Gemara says that more correct is Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda. We really don't passing like the Tanakam. We don't pass like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda either for a different reason, the Gemara is going to say. But a different machlokes. But the machlokes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda on Yud Ches and Aleph on the bottom Mishnah, so we really pass like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Once he shechted 2/3 of the Kone, so finished. So if he goes up higher and he does a Hagrama for the last third, it doesn't bother me. So how can Rashi say, the Gemara says, we pass like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So how can Rashi say that if you do a Shehiya b'miyad basra, or you do a chalada means like this. A chulda is a weasel that sneaks in between pieces of furniture, or hides. It crawls in between different things. So chalada means you're supposed to take the knife and shecht the animal, take the knife on the outside and shecht over here. What if instead he sticks the knife in between the kon and the veshet and he shechts out, or he shechts in? So the knife is stuck in between. Or the Gemara has a suffix. What if he sticks the knife over here, in between the skin and the simanim? That's a shame, because al pidin, the skin doesn't require shechita. Mm-hmm. Well, let's say there's a lot of fuzz over here. There's a lot of wool. So he starts shechting. He puts, there's an awful lot of wool in the front. Or let's say they put a scarf, it's cold. They put a scarf around the neck of the animal, and then he puts the knife in between the scarf and the neck. So the Gemara has a suffix whether that's also called chalada. Chalada means you took the knife and you put it like a chuldo, like the weasel sneaks in between different things to hide. So here the knife was hidden. The real case of chalada is he sticks the knife in on the side in between the kon and the veshet. The kon and shechita and the veshet need shechita. Or by an oath you don't need on both, but shechita is chal on the kon or on the veshet. You don't need both the kon and the veshet. But you can either shecht in a bird, you can either shecht the kana or the vesh. So the original, the real din of chalada is if he sticks it in between. So Rashi learns that the Gemara had an ibaya on Laman Amid Beis. What if bet hechled the mir basa? The same thing. He took the knife and he shechted the kana. Then he shechted 2/3 of the vesh. Then he takes out the knife and he sticks it in between the spine and the back 1/3 of the vesh. And he cuts the remaining 1/3 of the vesh bechalada. But you didn't need that. If he would have stopped before, it was already a shechitik sheira. He already shechted the whole kana and two thirds of the beishet. So Taisa says shein geshechten. What is there to discuss? And Rashi learns no. Just like if he has a pause in between the first one and two thirds, he shechted the kana and two thirds of the beishet. He pauses for half an hour, then he shechts the last third. That's a suffix in the Gemara. So the same thing, he shechts the kana and two thirds of the veshet, and then he does chalade. He sticks the knife in between the spine and what's left of the veshet, and he cuts backwards. That's also the bidle of sheet in the Gemara. So Taisa said the whole thing doesn't make any sense. So now Taisa says, isn't Rashi against the Mishnah? The Mishnah has a that's the machlokes Tanakama and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakama says you have to have Shir kosher, you have to have a chut, maloha chut, al pnei kula. If you're going to shecht two thirds of the kone in the right location, and the last third you're going to go up and shecht shalobim komo too high, so the Tanakam says it's no good. He could have quit when he was ahead. He could have stopped after shechting two thirds of the kone. Would have been good for the kone. So the Tanakam holds like that Rashi's chumr, that chalada, that hagrama, this is called hagrama, if you shecht too high or too low. It's called Hagram. Teshech Shalom and Koma. So in Tanakama, it sounds like it holds like Rashi's Chumra, that even with Miyad Basra, it also passes. And the Gemara said, we don't pass like the Tanakama. You pass like Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yudah on this Nekuda, that he said, Melochut al Pnei Ruba, as long as Rav is Bim Komo. Even though the Miyad Basra Shalom and Koma, it's good. So Tarsus explains there on Daf Lamed, like you said before, it's not the same. Shehiya Drosa, Chalode, Ikur, these are psulim in the Maisa Shechita. And Hagrama is not a psul how he did it. He shechted Shalom and Koma. So Taisus argues, if he shecht Shalom and Koma, it's like cutting off the legs. It's not called the Hemshech of the Shechita. Let's say he shechts the Kone and two thirds of the Veshit, and then he shoots the animal in the heart, or he chokes it to death, or he cuts off the legs and it bleeds to death. So that's not the psul. That's not a psul. The only time Rashi says it psul is if you use a knife and you continue to shecht the miyad basra bipsul, so that's a hemshech of the shechita. The whole shechita from the beginning to the end is considered a shechita bipsul. But if you're going to do hagrama, you're shechting in the wrong place. That's like cutting off the legs, like shooting it in the heart. That's not a psul shechita. That's in ganzen not called the shechita. There's a machlekes in the shach. Shach has a machlekes with someone else. What's the din? Let's say the sheikh had shechted the kana and two thirds of the veshit. Then he takes a sack and peguma. He takes a saw, and he saws off the rest of the neck. So when you shecht with the sack and peguma, so that's a machlekes harishanim. I think we learned it already on daf test. No, shehi adrasa chala da hagrama the ikur. So there was a machlokes. Here the Tosis Tesam and Aleph we learned. Kula Tanini. So Tosis had a machlokes. What does the word ikur mean? So Rashi learns if you shecht with a sakin that has pegimus, that's called ikur. So Tosis says, no, that's not hilcha shechita. If you shecht with a sakin that has pegimus, so the sakin, the pegimus, is going to rip the kana and the veshet. That's by definition, it's not called shechita. Shechita means to cut with the sharp part of the knife. Pegimus passels because it's going to rip. That's why it's no good. So Taisa says, that can't be, that's not what ikar means. Ikar means a different thing. So Taisa explains, if the kana that you're shechting with, the kana is detached, kana is supposed to be attached to the bottom of the jaw, and the veshet is supposed to be attached over here somewhere on the top, and the veshet goes down to the belly, all the food goes down to the belly, and the kana goes down to the lungs, the air should go into the lungs. So if it's detached on top, so that will be a trefa. But if you shecht, let's say if you have a bird, Rashi holds that'll be a trefa, that won't be an avela. So Tei says no, if you shecht on a sakin, if you shecht on a simon that's okur, the simon is detached, so that'll be an avela. That's a psul and hilcha shechita. That's the machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says there is no such din. Rashi holds if the kana or the veshet is detached from where it's supposed to be, so the whole animal will be considered a trefa. But it won't make it worse than a trefa. It won't make it into an avela. And Tosfos says no. If you shecht on a sima, that's okur. that'll make it into a nevela. And Tosfos disagrees. Rashi learned that ikra means if you shecht with a sakam peguma, you shecht with a soa, and you have pegimas all over the place, so that's a shechita bepsul. Tosfos says, no, that's not a shechita at all. That's mepnei she'ein chonkin, the Mishnah said. You're ripping. So that's really a machlokes. Dushach has a machlokes with a hagwas haratz, I think. Someone wrote a sefer hilchos shechita, Reb Tzvi. I don't know who it is. So the shach has a machlokes with him. What if the shechit shechted the kone, and then he shechts 2/3 of the veshit, then he takes a saw to cut the miyud basa? So do you say taking a saw is like choking the animal? So if you choke the animal in the miyud basa, that's not a problem. Or do you say no? It's a shechita, it's a psula shechita. It is a shechita and it's a shechita psula. So if you do a shechita psula on the miyud basa, according to Rashi, that'll pass. We're machmer for Rashi that shia be miyud basa, chaladim be miyud basa does pass. Hagrama b'miyad basra. So that's what the Tosfos writes on Lamed Amud Beis. Hagrama b'miyad basra. The Stavit to say that it shouldn't passel, like Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yudah says over here on Yud Chesem and Aleph. Because hagrama yishechting shelo b'mkomo. That's like cutting off the legs. That's in guts in the wrong location.
But also, if you did most of the shechita, then you did shear. Would that passel as shechita?
So Rashi says it passels, and we're machmeh like that Rashi.
Even though it's at the end, the shechita is already finished.
Right, that's what Tosfos says. It doesn't make any sense. The Rashi holds no. The din of Shehi is not only that the second part won't be mitzarif to the first part. That's the din of Shoka de Ligma Skula by davening or by duchening or by mikra megillah. You need tziruf. So there is a din Shoka de Ligma Skula. But here it's a different word. If you shecht the Shehiya, the whole shechita is a shechita psula from the beginning. Even the leg that you cut off in between.
How did you make something that was already kosher?
So that was Tosfos Kasha, doesn't make sense. So Rashi says, not true. It wasn't kosher. It's a Gloy Milsa Lemafreya that from the beginning the whole Shechita was a Shechita Bipsul. That's what he said. What if he ate it already? So it turned out that he ate Nevela. According to Rashi, not the Karala Haboy makes it a Nevela. It's a Gloy Milsa Lemafreya from the beginning the whole Shechita was a Shechita Bipsula. From the beginning, not just from the end. You can't make it an avela after it's already a shchuta. It becomes an avela from the beginning. It's considered shchita psula from the beginning.
Rashi would agree that if you shoot it, then you
that's not a problem.
You didn't make it kala.
Right.
You didn't do anything.
Doesn't ruin
it's
anything.
Only when you do it with an intention of shchita.
You continue. The Shach even quotes one opinion that Rashi's chumra only applies if the same person does the miyud basra. But if a different person takes over, then it's not a hemshach. So that's questionable, because if they switch shochtim in the middle, it is mitzdarav. So why should it make a difference if you have shir b'mir basra, different sheikha took over? It's also a hemshah from before. But if what he does at the end is b'chalal not shchita, he shoots the animal, or he chokes it to death, then it doesn't pass. So if he shechted with a sak and peguma, that's a machlekes, the shach and the Rabbeinu Tzvi. Whether Rashi's chumra of shir b'mir basra would apply over there. Where the shechting b'sak and pekuma really means it's korea, it's ripping the neck. Or do you say no? It's a shechita b'psul. It is a shechita b'psul. Yeah. So here the Gemara has Rabbi Shmuel Dami Travayu and Yud Chesam and Aleph. Rabbi Shmuel both said halacha k'Rabbi Yosef b'Rabbi Yehuda, and this one the kuda. We pass like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda that it doesn't bother me. Hagrama b'miyud basra doesn't bother me. If you we'll have to learn the Gemara further, but so far what it means is if you shechted the kona 2/3 into the kona, so if you stop there is good. So even though if you continue and you cut the last third shalobim kom, or you cut it way higher than you're supposed to, halachi Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda hagrama b'miyud basra doesn't passel. But Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is cooler that your makel is if the hagrama was in the miyud basra, if as long as you shecht the 2/3 in the kone in the tabas, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is cooler. Lo yomer ela b'tabas hagdola, only on the top one. Hola makefes is kol hakone. The top ring of the windpipe is cartilage all around and around. So there, that's what he says. As long as you shecht 2/3 of that, it's good. But the lower tabois that are cartilage are only cartilage around 90%, and 10% is flesh over there. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would never say over there that rive is sufficient. Why not? Why shouldn't the road be sufficient over there? What does this mean? So Rashi has a few pshatim over here. So one pshat is a very reasonable pshat. Let's say if the thing goes around, you have to know arithmetic over here, plain arithmetic. Let's say the cartilage only goes around 80%, and 20% is flesh, and you're going to shecht 51% of the 80%. So you're going to be shechting 41%, let's say. So 41% is not rive of the kana. When you shecht the rive, you say ruba kakula. If you shecht the rive of the kana is good, you have to shecht the rive of the whole kana, the whole circumference. But it only has cartilage, let's say 80% or 85%. So if you're going to shecht, if you would have shecht the rive of the kana, the whole kana around, then he would have said it's good. But you only shechted rive of the cartilage part of the kana. So that's not a rive of the kana, because 20%, or 10 or 20% is flesh on the side. Yeah, so if that's the pshat, Vav Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah is only mekel lo yomer ele b'tabas hagdoilo on the upper ring, hoel makevus is kol hakana, because it has cartilage all around. Avol b'shat habos loy, but the other rings that go around the kana, he would never say it. If that's the reason, so it doesn't make any sense that anybody should disagree with that. So the Gemara continues, Freg the Gemara, how can you say that? B'shat habos loy, you mean Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah is not mekel on the later tabos? Freg the Gemara, we have a brisa that seems to say that he is mekel. It doesn't make any sense. How can anybody disagree? It should be 100% correct what he said. So this pshat is problematic. The Gemara had to have a minute to think that someone disagrees, that if he shecht a rive of the cartilage, even though it's not a rive of the whole kana, that would be sufficient. Why? There's no halacha. Let's say if you shecht in between one ring and the other, you shecht in the basal part. That's a good shechita, as long as it's within the location. You can't shecht too high, can't shecht too low. Anywhere in between, you can shecht. So you can shecht either within a tabas, or you can shecht in between one tabas and the other tabas. Anywhere is good. So if you're shechting in between one ring and the other, so you have to shecht 51% of the whole circumference of the kana. So even if you're shechting where the cartilage is, where the ring is, it's not enough to shecht the rive of the cartilage. Of course you have to shecht the rive of the whole kana. So how can there be a half a minute to say fakir? So that's why Rashi quotes another pshat. Rashi has a few pshatim here. Rashi quotes another pshat Rashi has three pshat. Rashi quotes another pshat like this. No, even if he shechts the later tabois, and he only shechts roiv of the whole kone, we don't accept it midirabbanon because of exeri. He may make a mistake and think that it's enough to shecht roiv of the cartilage part. So that makes sense to say, no, I will hatanya, there's a price of fakert. As long as he shechts rive of the kana is good. Why do you make exer the rabbonon? We're afraid next time he may make a mistake. He'll only shecht the rive of the cartilage. Why make exer the rabbonon? This time he shechted the rive of the kana, so it's good. Who says you have a right to make? So that pshat is not bit. The first pshat is very problematic. The first pshat was, if he shechts a rive of the cartilage, is no good because that's not a rive of the whole kana. No. And not the Gemara digzach. The Gemara thought that there's a brisa that contradicts it. The Gemara backs out. The brisa doesn't necessarily contradict it. But how can anybody have raised the possibility to disagree? Now Rashi has a third pshat that he's not happy about. Rashi says all the three pshatim don't matter so much because we're not going to pass like the whole Gemara anyway. Gemara is going to say we pass like Hananiah ben Antignus. We'll get to it later, who is more mekel than everybody over here. So Rashi has a third pshat, a naiv pshat, that when the Gemara says, Afar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah, four lines from the bottom of Yud Chesem and Aleph, Afar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah lo yomar, he says that Reiv is good by the Tabas, that's only Tabas ho El Yoyna. If you shecht in the top ring, that goes around and around, but if you shecht in a lower ring, it's not called Kana. Even if you shecht the whole thing across, all the way across, it's not called kana, because the kana means the windpipe with the cartilage, and since the cartilage only goes rive around the kana, doesn't go kulai, So Ruba Kukula cannot work to be kaveh that this is a makam shchita. Ruba Kukula is good when you're shechting the veshet or you're shechting the kane, so you only have to shecht 51% or two-thirds is good. But to be kaveh that this is a makam shchita, you can't say Ruba Kukula. So since the cartilage doesn't go around and around, only the top ring, only the top tabas goes around and around, and all the lower tabas only go rubai, so you got to say Ruba Kukula says that that's considered kana. It's not considered kana. It's a psul deraisa. It's a shalobim kama, the shchita shalobim kama. So that's gora vildipsha. That's gora vildipsha. You can only shecht the top one. And what about shechting in between? You can shecht in between. Who says you need cartilage at all? It happens that the kana has cartilage. The beishet has no cartilage. The kana has cartilage. But there's nothing wrong with shechting in between one cartilage and the other. You shecht by the kana. That's a difficult pshat. Tosis is not happy at all. That's a pshat that Rashi does like. Rashi likes that pshat. That you can't say Ruba Kukula to be kaveh, that is a mokam shchit. Tosis says that's unheard of. The Tosis Hanamanav is not happy with that pshat. But these are the three suggestions. Rashi has three different pshatim. And he says it doesn't make such a difference because we're not going to pass on like anything over here anyway, because the Gemara is going to be mekal and everything. Yeah. Rashi and the Mishnah also has, it's very strange why on this daf Rashi has so many wild pshatim. Rashi and the Mishnah also has two pshatim. We learned the Pashup pshat that hagrama means there's a long, you have a giraffe, you have a normal animal, and there's an upper point and a lower point, you have to shecht somewhere over there, the conurbation somewhere. Shecht too high is no good, shecht too low is no good. You shecht too low, it's called you were shechting in the lungs. You shecht too high, you're shechting in the jaw. So in between, that says a Ramban later. There's a perek in the end of the Masechta that whenever you shecht the behemoth, you're supposed to give Zroa l'chayayim v'hakeva. That's perek hazroa. The 10th perek. It's not the last perek. No, the two perekim. Shiloh hakan is the last perek. But the 10th perek has Zroa l'chayayim v'hakeva. We don't practice it in the chutzlors because Rashi learns on the Gemara and Brochus, no galmo kahani tlas sovi. The minig olam is like the three older tanoim from earlier generations. And one of them says, that's our Rashi intent, one of them says that the mitzvah, just like Chumas and Maishas, only apply in Eretz Yisrael. That's an agricultural mitzvah. So one Tana holds that Zroa l'chayayim hakeva, when you shecht an animal, you have to give the matanas to the kohen. Mm-hmm. One of the 24 matanas kuhuna only applies in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't apply in Chutzlot. So the Rashi learns the Gemara. No galman. The minhag olam is that they don't give Zroa l'chayayim hakeva in Chutzlots. We follow that opinion in the Tanoim that it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. But in Eretz Yisrael there is a din. So what's called the Chayayim? So the Ramban there has on the bottom of the rift, the Ramban in the Mochamis has on the bottom of the rift there, the Lechi includes the tongue also, and when you reach the upper point of the Kone, where it's too high to Shecht, that's already called Lechi. If you, depending on where Hagrama begins, where exactly is the highest point where you can shecht on the kone? So the highest point, right after that highest point, all that belongs to the kohen. You're supposed to give that as matnas kone. That's part of the lechi. And the lower part is ready. If you go too low, that's called reya. You can't shecht in the lungs. You can't shecht in the lechi. So that's the pashup shat of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is telling us what's the upper point. So if you shecht above that, how did the Mishnah start off? A shecht mitochat habas, he shechts in the middle of the upper ring and the cartilage. He has to be shear ba maloachut al pnei kula. He can't shecht too high. Then Rashi has another pshat. No, there's another pshat. You can't shecht in between one cartilage and the other. That's also called hagrama. You only have to shecht in the middle of the cartilage. You shecht at the flesh part is no good. The veishet, the whole thing is soft flesh. There's no cartilage at all. And the kana has cartilage. It's only a good shchit if you shecht where the cartilage is. If you shecht in between one ring and the other, that's hagrama. So that's not the normal way. We usually learn hagrama, there's upper point, the lower point, and anywhere in between is a good makam hashchita. That's what Tosis Tain is against that pshat. They're not happy with that. So that pshat, that is only good if you shecht where there's cartilage, if you shecht in between one tabas and the other, that's called hagrama. So that's what Rashi learns this Gemara about Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yudah Lo'am Ha'ele B'Tabas HaGdailo, because there's cartilage around and around. And all the lower tabas, since you're going to say Ruba Kukuloi, so Rashi learns Pshat, you don't say Ruba Kukuloi to declare it as a Mokam Shchita. It's not a Mokam Shchita at all. So just like you can't shecht in between one tabas and the other, you can't even shecht in the tabas because you have no right to declare ruba kukuloi to make an amokam shechita. It's a wild pshat. That's not the pasha pshat. That's not the pasha pshat. Pasha pshat was about that because the cartilage only goes around 80%. You're going to cut 51% of 80%. It's not going to be a roiv of the kana. That's why it's no good. But that doesn't make sense. Why should the Gemara challenge it? As if someone's going to argue. How can it be? It's not going to be 51% of the kana. So the best pshat is that it means even if you shech the roiv, even if you shech the roiv of the kana, so, since you may make a mistake next time, you'll only shech the roiv of the cartilage, they passed mid the rabbanon. So that's what they asked the kasha, b'shat habos lo, how can you say that? Vatanya, that is not so. That's the easiest pshat. Okay. But Rashi quotes, it's unusual. Rashi quotes the two pshatim on the Mishnah, then he quotes the three pshatim on this line in the Gemara. So the Gemara asked on next to the last line, well, b'shat habos lo, you're telling me a story. The Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would never say Ruba Kukuloi that you can shech on the Sharta boys arrive. Preg di Gemara, I bought Tanya, we have a brisa that seems to contradict it. But Tanya, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Amen. A shech at the Sharta boys, if he shechts on the lower cartilages, Afo Peshen Makiv says Kalakana, Hola Makiv says Rabakana, Shchitosa Ksheira, says that it's a good Shchita. So what's exactly the Kasha? According to the one pshat that Rashi said in Amud Aleph, Rashi gave three pshatim. Well, what's wrong? What did the Gemara say? It was no good. So according to one pshat, what the Amora said in Amud Aleph, it's not a makam shechit at all. Since the cartilage doesn't go around and around, it's not a makam shechit. So the Gemara slugs it up. So Beferish said it is a good makam shechit. So that's a kasha. According to the other pshatim, that Rashi said that he's only shechting. He only shechted roiv of the cartilage, and the cartilage is only roiv of the whole hekif of the kana. So where does it say? So what's the contradiction from the brisa? How do you see any brisa? It says if you shech b'shat tabas is good. Don't say how much he shechted. Don't say he shechted 2/3 of the tabas. He shechted the whole. Maybe it means he shechted the whole kana. So what's the kasha? So Rashi is matrik. That's self understood. Then he only shechted 2/3 in the right place, and then he did hagram, he shechted the rest in the wrong place. Shver, the other pshatim are problematic over here. All the pshatim here are difficult in this Gemara. So that was the Gemara's kasha. Then the Brisa continues, umugremes psula. If he shecht way too high, way too low, hagram apostles. That's one of the chamash el chashchit. Hagram means he shecht shalom makola. Hey, Rabbi Chanida ben Atignais, Rashi has a comment. Whenever it says Heyid, you have Maseches Adius. Maseches Adius, the Gemara says, in Brachas, the Gemara tells a story that Rabbi Gamliel was the chief rabbi, and he didn't allow any dissension. And he sort of terrorized the other Tanoim, and no one was allowed to say, take a public stand against him. He held that Tfilas Arvis is a Chayva, and no one was allowed to say Rishus. And he, whatever his Shitas were, he didn't allow anyone else to express their opinion in public. And then they couldn't take it anymore. He was Mavaza the other Tanaim, so they retired him. So they retired Rabbi Gamliel. So then when they retired him, they appointed a new chief rabbi. The Moshe says they appointed Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah. He was very young. And how is he going to command the respect of the Balabat? The Moshe was only 17 years old. So overnight, he grew a white beard. His beard turned white and shine. And he looked like he was Ariane Kiven Shimshana. He looked like he was 70 years old, and he was respected. So the Gemara says, Osa Yom, Rabbi Gamliel, in addition to all the other policies that he had another policy. You only allow Talmidim to attend the yeshiva if Tocho Kibaro. They look on the outside as if they're all Bnei Torah, but he would interview them and try to psychoanalyze them to see whether they really have Yirah Shamayim. So whoever he thought didn't have Tocho Kibaro, he wouldn't allow into the Beis HaMikdash. The other Tanaim didn't follow that policy. That's what the Ovis Rav Nosson comments on the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Ovis. Anshek Nesagdala Himam Rishlosh Dvarim. So one of the things was, Hamina Tamidim Harbei. So what does it mean, Hamina Tamidim Harbei? Not like Rabbi Gamliel's policy, that you only allow into the Beis Medrash one who seems to be very, very pure Tocha Kibaro. Whoever says he wants to learn, say, let him learn. If he doesn't daven, doesn't like tefillin, you throw him out. But if he looks on the outside, the outside looks like he's learning and he's observing mitzvahs. You don't psychoanalyze him to try to see if he really means it l'shem shemayim. you take everybody in. So the Gemara says, Osayom, when they appointed Rabbi Lozim and Azariah as the chief rabbi, and he was the Rosh Yeshiva, so they allowed many more people to learn in the base medrash. They had to add on many more benches to sit and learn. And then everybody was coming out of the woodworks and saying over old traditions that they were afraid to say while Rabbi Gamliel was the chief rabbi, because he would give them a hard time. So the Mishnah's adias was Nishnas Bobayom. It says, hey, this one, hey, that one. And then Rashi quotes from the Gemara. Rashi here quotes from the Gemara. Whenever it says, hey, Yid, so we assume that's the halacha. So here it also, the expression in the Brisa, it says, on the third line from the top, hey, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas. Why did they say, hey? You should say, Om Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas. Mugremus Ksheva. Now, hey, it means that it's a technical term that means we paskin like him. We paskin like Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas, because he was carrying over a tradition from the earlier generation. And he said, hey, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas, al Mugremus Sheik Sheira. What Mugremus? Hagram is one of the Chamish Hilchas Shechita. How can he say that Mugremus is Ksheira? What he means to say is, what they assume is Hagram is not true. The Tanoim here say, it's Hagram if you cut through the upper tabas in the cartilage, and you left a little bit, it's good, but if you cut above the top cartilage, it's already Hagram. He said, that's not true. You have another half an inch above that. It is the whole assumption of all of the Tanoim here. In the Machlokes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda, where the Rav is enough, so we would pass like Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda, the Rav is enough. But the premise of both the Tanakam and Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda is not accepted. Their premise is that the upper point is the top of the upper cartilage. We pass and you have another half an inch above that. You can go even further. So that's what he says. Hey, Rabbi Yechanina ben Antignas, Al Mugremus, that Mugremus that the Tanoim are talking about in the Mishnah, we don't accept their opinion. Sheik Shira. There is Mugremus that's Psula. Hagram is one of the Chamash El Chashchita. But the Shir is not over there. It's a little higher. The Gemara is going to say what it is, exactly where it is.
Why does Rashi say that they passed like everything that
he is? I think that's.
He says, V'hochi Hilchas, the Kol.
Whenever it says, hey, it means that that's how we pass. And yeah.
But according to the story that the Rav was saying, everybody came out of the woodwork all of a sudden.
Yeah, but the Mishnah has that technical term Hayid, the Rav put in that Maseches Hayidus, so that the usage of that technical term carries with it the kind of the Mishnah could have said Oma Pliny, but because Rabbi Yehuda Nasi chose to use the word Hayid, so that technical term means that we paskin like that.
They didn't paskin like everybody who was made that day.
No. Those whom we don't pass like so won't say hey it. They'll be quoted somewhere else in Shas, in another Mishnah. They only included those in Adias who were Nishnah Bobayom, and only those whom we pass like. That's when it says the word hey it, meaning that we're going to pass like them. Yeah, it's not because they came out of hiding we should pass like them. Those that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi felt we should pass like, so those were included in the Mishnah with that technical term hey it. Yeah. So this was the Gemara effect Akasha. How can you say an Amid Aleph, whatever pshat, Rashi had three pshatim, whatever pshat you're going to say, how can you tell me, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda only said it on the upper cartilage, but he never said it on the lower tabos. It's beferish against the Brisa. It says explicitly, Hashech b'shat tabos ha'pishem ha'kivis ha'skulam, and it's good. And for the Gemara, Amid Rabbi Yosef, that's the famous Rabbi Yosef, that's the one that Abaye learned by Rabbi Yosef. Amid Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Tarti Koma. Rabbi Yosef said two things. Rabbi Shmuel held like half of what he said, and not like all. Rabbi Shmuel Sabi Kavase Bechada, Upligi Alei Bechada. One of the two things that he said, Rabbi Shmuel say, Halachik Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. And the other thing that he said, they don't accept. One thing that he said, the same as Tanakama, that the highest point where you can shecht is the top of the top cartilage, just as far as it goes. So that we don't accept, that we pass like Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas, because the Brisa used that technical term hate means that we pass like that. But the other thing that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda said, that Ruba Kukuloi, and if you do Hagrama b'mir Basra doesn't bother me, so that Rabbi Shmuel said, we pass like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. That's what the Gemara says. That's what Rabbi Yosef says. Yeah, Hagram is one of the five Chamish Hilcha Shechita Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Right. That was the Gemara and Tessa Medalev. Chamish Hilcha Shechita, all appear in Mishnayas. So Hagram is this Mishnah. Hagram means you shecht it too high or too low. So that's Rav Yosef's explanation. Omer Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda said two things. Tarti koma. Rabbi Shmuel Sabek Avosa Bechadu, they accepted one thing that he said, that Ruba Kukulai, and it doesn't bother me, Hagrama B'miyot Basra. If he could have quit when he was ahead, and he didn't, that he did a Hagrama on the last part, it doesn't bother me. Upligale Bechadu, but they disagree on the other one. Shoyin. Freg de Gemara, but that's not the way it was worded. It says on Amud Aleph, Rabbi Shmuel said, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda never said it on the other Taboas. What do you mean he never said it? He said two things, and you don't want to pass on like everything that he said. But don't say he never said it. He did say, according to Rabbi Yosef, he did say, Freg de Gemara, V'halo Yomar Ka Amri. But Rabbi Shmuel said, they both said, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda never said it. And you're telling me, no, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda said a lot of things, and they don't want to pass like everything that he said. Mora said, no, hachi koma. This is what they meant to say. Halachi kemosav tabas hagdalav, and halachi kemosav b'shar tabas. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda had a lot of things to say, and Rabbi Shmuel don't want to pass like everything that he said. Fine. Then the Gemara tells an incident. Rabbi Zera was a character. He lived in Bovel, and he used to... And he moved to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Zera moved to Eretz Yisrael. I think the Gemara says that when he, Mom Bamatzia says that when he moved to Eretz Yisrael, he fasted 40 Tanesim to forget the whole Derech Alimud from Bavel. Because in Eretz Yisrael, the whole Derech Alimud was so different, it would be like a shock, a culture shock. It was going to be so different. So he fasted 40 Tanesim to forget everything, that he'll be able to be open-minded, to be mekabel the learning in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara that says, Kisalik Rabbi Zera, Salik means Aliyah, when he went up. Kisalik Rabzera went up to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael Gevay Mikol Haratzus. So whenever you go to Eretz Yisrael, it's called Aliyah. Ochal Mugrem is the Rabbi Shmuel. So he ate a behemah, which Rabbi Shmuel said is Hagroma. You're not allowed to eat, and he ate it over there. Amri Lei, so they confronted him and they said, Lav Me Asri the Rabbi Shmuel, don't you come from Bavel? How come you're eating Nevela according? The din is that each, what do you do when there's a machlokes? How do you paskin? One rabbi paskins one way, one rabbi paskins the other way. So how do the balabatim supposed to know what the din is? So the Chumash says, Kipal mimcha davala mishpat, when they're Dibei rivis bisharecha, there's a machlokes among the rabbonim, they come to be alisi, go to the Bez Nagodol, whatever they paskin, you have to follow their psak. Why is the psak of the Bez Nagodol binding? The din is the psak of Rabbi Muvik is binding. Whoever is your Rebbe Muvik. So if you daven in this shul, or you daven and you live in this community, so the Mar D'Asra is considered Rabbi Muvik normally. The Mar D'Asra is considered Rabbi Muvik of all of the people in the community. So the din is that the Gdoli Hador, there's a Gemara in Brachas, where the Gemara says that when Shmuel was a little baby, so his mother Chana brought him to Mishkan Shiloh, and he should be raised by Eli HaKoyen. So he paskin against Eli HaKoyen on a certain issue. At a very young age, he expressed his opinion. So Eli said, "You're Mor Halacha b'fnei Rabba. You have no right to paskin in my presence." So Tosfos says, "What do you mean Mor Halacha b'fnei Rabba? He never met him before. How can Eli be considered the Rebbe of Shmuel? Shmuel was a young child. This is the first time he ever met him." So Tosfos says, "No." And the Tosfos is quoted in Yerideya. That whoever had the Gedolei Hador have the status of Rabbi Muvik of all the people who live in that generation. So the Bez Nagodol was not a political body. Bez Nagodol was a body that consisted of all of the Gedolei Hador, the biggest Talmid Chachamim. So the psak of the Bez Nagodol is binding because the Bez Nagodol are the Gedolei Hador, and the Gedolei Hador are the Rabbi Muvik of all of the people who live in that generation. That's the basic din. The din of Zalkan Mamre, that if you paskin against the Bez Nagodol, Yechayiv Misa, so that only applies Bez Nagodol. Only Bez Nagodol and the Lishka Sagazis, if they gave the Psak when they were in their official location in the Beis HaMikdash. But the Chiyuv, that you have to listen to the Psak of the Bez Nagodol, that basically applies each person, unless the person is Higiyah Lo Hayro, is entitled to his own opinion of Halacha. But if the person himself is not a Higiyah Lo Hayro, so who, and he knows that there are different opinions, so whose psak does he have to follow? So he follows whatever is Rabbi Muvik. So Kolzman, Rabbi Zera, lived in Bavel, so he used to follow Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel with the Gdolim and the first generation of Amram. They both came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel to establish yeshiva. So they were the Gedolei Hador. Then when he moved to Eretz Yisrael, so the Gemara is going to continue to say he didn't just go to visit Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't planning to move back to Bavel. It was Ein Daita Lachza. He was going to stay in Eretz Yisrael. So basically, he switched his rabbeim. Instead of considering Rabbi Shmuel as his Rebbe Muvik, they were Morad Astra in Bavel. He's no longer going to remain in Bavel. Rabbi Zeira moved to Eretz Yisrael and he was planning to stay there. So now his Rebbe Muvik is no longer the Gedolim, but Rabbi Shmuel is going to be the Gedolim who lived in Eretz Yisrael. The Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael used to say, this kind of Mugramis is kosher. They disagreed with Rabbi Shmuel. So that's what happened over here. Kisalag Rabbi Zeira, when he moved to Eretz Yisrael, went on Aliyah, Ochel Mugramis to Rabbi Shmuel. He ate flesh in Eretz Yisrael that, according to Rabbi Shmuel, would have been considered an Avela. Amri Lei, so the Balabatim asked Rabbi Zeira, La me asri de Rabbi Shmuel at, you come from Bavel, you're not allowed to eat this. Amalahu, so he said, wait a minute, who said that Rabbi Shmuel said that? Who said that? Man Amaru, who says this in the name? So they told him, Yosef Barchia, that's Rabbi Yosef. So he said, Vas Hakta Chadik. Rabbi Yosef, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Hey, he's senile, he mixed it up, he must have heard from someone else. See, on Amad Aleph it says, they had a problem. What did Rabbi Shmuel say? So on the days, they quoted Rabbi Yosef gave that answer. Here on the 1, 2, 3, the fifth line from the top of Amad Beis. So. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah said two things, and half was accepted, and half was not accepted. So that was Rabbi Yosef's interpretation. So this wise guy, this Rabbi Zeira, says, yeah, Rabbi Yosef, Chalemus, he heard from someone not reliable, that Rabbi Shmuel, it's not true. I don't believe that Rabbi Shmuel ever said it. That's his first reaction. He listens to too many people and it's not reliable, he can't rely on him. So this incident happened in Eretz Yisrael. So someone was very kind enough to go back to Bavel and tell Rabbi Yosef the negative comment that the Rabbi Zeira told him. If someone says a negative comment, so that's real rechilus. That's exactly what rechilus is. I tell you that Pliny said that you're an idiot. Pliny said you're stupid. Pliny said he doesn't like the way you dress. You're not supposed to say over what's a comment that someone else said. That's called rechilus. So someone went back and they told Rabbi Yosef the comment that Rabbi Zed, the negative comment that he said. Shom Rabbi Yosef ikpin. And he was very hurt. He was very insulted. Omar, so he said, Hano mikuli alma gemirna. What do you mean? I hear things from all kinds of people, not necessarily reliable. And I say over things that are not accurate. Hano mi Rabbi Yuda gemirna. I learned everything for Rabbi Yuda. Rabbi Yudah was a Talmud of both Rav and Shmuel. And Rabbi Yudah was very careful. Rabbi Yudah would sometimes say over something and he says, I'm not sure whether I heard it from A or B or C. That's called Sveika de Gavra. He was very careful to say, Pliny said in the name of Rav. Or Pliny, someone else said in the name of Shmuel. He says, Rabbi Yosef said, Anami kuli al magmirna. I heard things from all kinds of, every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Not true. Anam Rabbi Yuda Gemirna. I only heard Torah from Rabbi Yuda. Dafilus Sveika de Gabigoris. He would be careful to say over when he was transmitting the halachas. The Torah Shabbat Peh was still being transmitted by Peh. It wasn't written down until way, way later. The Gemara was written down in the days of the Goinim, way after the days of the Gemara. So he says when he would say it over by Peh, he would say over Sveika de Gabri. He would say, I'm not sure whether Pliny said it or Pliny said it. The Omer Rabbi Yuda, Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Rabbi Yuda once said, in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba, who said it in the name of someone else, and he's Mesupik, Sofik Mishmei the Rab, Sofik Mishmei the Shmuel. He's not sure whether Rab said it or Shmuel said, what's the difference? It's a din. No. Rabbi Yuda was very careful, was very cautious. He would say over B'Shem Omer with precision. So the Gemara happens to quote the whole memory that he said. The memory is not relevant here. The whole relevant, whole significance is that Rav Yosef was insulted and hurt, and he said, I'm very careful, I'm very meticulous, I only say over from Rav Yudah, who was very careful to say over all the Sveika de Gavra. But they already quoted that he was careful, so they said, quote the whole memory. What's the din? There's a din if a carbon gets a mum kavua, so you can be paid to it, and it's called psulda megdoshim. You take the money, and you buy another carbon. And this animal, you can shech chutz lebeis hamikdash. If a b'chor behema tohira gets a mum kavua, so you don't have to, there's no pinyon, there are two karbonis where if he gets a mum kavua, it's yotze l'chol by itself. One is b'chor and one is maisa. These are the two kapparas where there's no kedushas peh. The pchor is kodesh meirechem. When it's born, it's already kodesh. And the ma'aseh behem also, you don't have to say hareza hegdish, hareza kodesh bekedushas ma'aseh sheni, ma'aseh behem. You count from 1 to 10. And the Gemara says asiri me'elu for kodesh. The 10th one, you have to be kaveh, which is number 10. When you count 1 to 10, then the 10th one becomes kodesh by itself. So apparently there's a connection. These two kapparas never had a kedushas peh. You didn't shlomim and an oil and a chatos and an oshem and a korban pesach. You have to say hareiz the pesach, hareiz the chatos, hareiz the shlomim, and the b'chor and the ma'isa become kodesh by themselves. So because they don't have kedushas peh, apparently there's a connection. When it gets a mum kavua, you don't have to make any pidyon. It's yotze luchulim by itself, but you have to know that it's a mum kavua. So how do you determine it's a mum kavua? Mum kavua is not going to get better by itself. So the Gemara says that Rav spent a year and a half on a farm to learn what's called the Gemara Sanhedrin, to learn what's a mum kavu, what's a mum aiver. So there's a din mid rabbanit. You're not allowed to shech the bechor until you have a mumche who paskins that this is a mum kavu. In Torah, you don't need a psak. If it's a mum kavu, it's a mum kavu. And mid rabbanit, made a chum, you have to have a person with special smicha. You used to have smicha yoyre, and then smicha yatir, yatir bechor, yoyre, or yodin, or yatir bechor. So he's an expert on mumim, and he knows how to determine what's a mum kavua. So this Rabbi Yudah was so careful. He said he's not sure what the name of Rav, the name of Shmuel, Shlosh Matir Meslapchav, Mokem Shem Mumche. If you don't have a mumche, who has a special smicha, has permission to paskin on a mum kavua. So if you have three hadyotas, three farmers, three religious farmers, Jewish farmers, and they'll constitute a bezna, and they'll paskin that they think that this is a mum kavua, also Matir Meslapchav, he can shech the pchor chutz lebeis hamigdash. So Rabbi Yosef was very insulted. He said, what do you mean? I said, oh, there's something that's not accurate. What I said was accurate. I heard it from Rabbi Yudah, and Rabbi Yudah used to be very careful what he said. Oh, sure. Then the Gemara asked Akasha, what did Rabbi Zerah, all of a sudden, he's not following the Pesachim of Rabbi Shmuel anymore. First he said, yeah, who says that Rabbi Shmuel said it? Rabbi Yosef is not reliable. But then Rabbi Yosef said, I'm very reliable. I was very careful. So the Gemara asked back in Rabbi Zerah, doesn't he know Leislei? Doesn't he know the Mishnah in Pesachim? Mishnah Mokim Shenoga says, Nes Maluchum Ya Mokim Shiatz Misham, Chum Ya Mokim Shahalach Lisham. Let's say there are different Minhagim and different Kehilas. Some Kehilas, they fast on certain days, other Kehilas, they don't fast. Some Kehilas, they eat in certain Chalev, and other Kehilas, they don't eat that Chalev. Different Pesachim where there are differences. So if a person goes from one city to the other, he has to observe both the chumis of the makom sheyotze misham. He has to observe the chumis of the city where he came from, as well as the chumis of the makom shehalach lisham. So how come over here, Rabbi Zerah moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he knows that Rabbi Shmuel observed this chumah, not the hagrama, what they consider hagrama. How come when he went to Eretz Yisrael, he didn't observe the dinim that he used to observe from Bavel? So the Gemara gives two answers. So, and a few lines later, the line begins, Ravashi Amar, Ravashi says, Hanemil Heched Daita Lachza. If you plan to go back to the old city, so then Rabbi Shmuel is still considered Mara Dasra. But Rav Zerah ain't Daita Lachza Havi. He planned to live in Eretz Yisrael permanently. So he's no longer a Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel. This I once told over this story about Rabbi Gifter. It sounds funny, but it's based on this Gemara. Rabbi Gifter went to learn and tells the yeshiva, says, Rebbe in the yeshiva in America was Rabbi Paleyev. So Rabbi Paleyev told him he shouldn't join any political organization. I mean, he shouldn't go to the Aguda. Shouldn't get involved in politics. Just sit and learn. So the Bachman and Tells always used to go. Whenever there was an Aguda, get there, the guy that used to go. And Rabbi Gifter never went because he kept on corresponding with Rabbi Paleyev. Every week he would send him a letter. Every week he would send him back a letter. They printed a whole collection of the correspondence back and forth for a couple of years. They were corresponding. So once the Mashgiach and Yeshiva noticed that he never goes to the Aguda Geta, and said, yes, to all the Bachim, how come? So he said, because he's still in touch with his Rebbe in America. The Rebbe in America said he shouldn't go to the Aguda, shouldn't join. So he said, send him in to me, he wants to speak to him. So Rabbi Gifter was a Bachim, so he came. So he asked him, how come? He asked him, how come you don't go to the Aguda? So he said, his Rebbe in America said he shouldn't get involved in any politics. So the Mashgiach said, I have a suggestion. Maybe you should switch your Rebbe. So he said, that never occurred to me. And from that time on, I switched my Rebbe and I always go to the Aguda. So it sounds like a joke. No, it's not like a joke. The first year and a half, first 2 years, he was still so kofuf. was still so kosher to his Rebbe in America, that was his Rebbe Muvak. But after he's there already, he was there 7 years or so. After he was there until so many years, he became more Mekusher. He still was corresponding to Rabbi Palea, but he became more attached to the Rabbeim and the Tel Yeshiva than he was to the Rebbe in America. So the Melia switch. It wasn't Daito Lachza, no. He was gonna follow this Rabbi. He was gonna be a Talmud of this Rabbi. It wasn't Daito Lachza. He came back to America, yeah. When the war broke out, he came back to America. But wasn't Daito Lachza to be kofuf to his former Rabbi. It was Daito to remain kofuf to this Rabbi. So that's a lot of times Talmidim, let's say a Talmud learns in yeshiva by one Rabbi. So he's very kofuf to that Rabbi for a year or two or three, whatever. And he follows all the psukim of that Rebbe. Then he moves on and learns by a different Rebbe. Then he feels that he got so much from the new Rebbe, he looks up to that Rebbe as his Rebbe. A person lives in one community, he follows all the psukim of the rabbi. Then he moves to another community. So the first couple of months, he's still kosher to his former rabbi. And he still calls the former rabbi to all of his shadows. But he can't keep on calling on Shabbos. He's going to have a shadow, he's going to have to ask the rabbi here. So after a couple of months, he's going to become a kosher to the rabbi here. So everybody switches Rabbeim. At some point in your life, some point or another, people switch to Rabbeim. So that's legitimate. That's what the Gemara says here. Rav Shmuel, but Rabbi Muvak of Rab Zera, when he was still in Bavel, once he moved to Eretz Yisrael, Zain died to Lachzer. So he looked up to the Rabbonim in Eretz Yisrael. There his Rabbonim of Hokim. Okay. We left out a Shtikal Gemara. We'll have to do that Gemara. We'll leave that next week. It's important that Allah HaMaisa, this Gemara. The Gemara has a famous comment in Psochem on this week's Sedra. This week's Sedra, you have the first seven Makkas. And then in Parshas Boy, the Mefoshim say, Boy Bigimatria is three, base Aleph. So it has the last three Makkas. The first seven Makkas on the Era, the last three are in Boy. So one of the early Makkas, Dam Tzvadeya. So when the Rebbeinu Shalom proclaimed the Makkah, when Moshe Rabbeinu said over the Makkah, he said that Tzvardeim are going to be all over the place, va'olu, v'veisecha, u'v'mishkovcha, in your bedroom, v'v'tanurecha, u'v'misharesecha. They'll be in the oven. They'll be all over the place. In the kitchen, in the bedroom, in the dining room. The Tzvardeim are going to be all over the place. Whatever Tzvardeim means. Okay. So the Gemara says, when is it called Tanurecha? Based on the mashmos of the pasuk, Tanurecha sounds like when the oven is burning hot. So the Tzvardeim are going to be in the burning house. They're going to get killed. So you see that the Tzvardeim understood intuitively that he has to give up his life. Al Kiddush Hashem. The Baruch Shalom wants him to be in the Tana. The Tzvardeim is Mechuyev. Tzvardeim, Jews are Mechuyev to observe 613 mitzvahs, whatever applies to us. But they know how Mechuyev to observe 7 mitzvahs b'nerach. The Behemoths don't even have to observe 7 mitzvahs b'nerach. The Ramban Chumash disagrees with the Rambam in Parshas Noach. He says the behemoths have enough seichel to understand not to kill a human being because they were all saved by Noach by the time of the Mabul. So if a behemoth kills a human being, so it says that's a shor nisko, you give it skila. So the Rambam says that that's a punishment to the owner of the behemoth. The Ramban proves from the Mishnah that it's not correct. It's a punishment to the behemoth. The behemoth hot nishken seichel. The behemoth does have seichel to know not to kill a human being. But over here, the Behemah should understand that Tzivei Hashem, that it should go into the... Behemah is not Mechuyev to do the Tzivei Hashem, to go into the Tanur. But somehow, intuitively, the Tzvadei understood that they have to do that, even though without Mitzvah. They weren't Mechuyev to do. So the Gemara says that Hanan, Mishael, Vazariah understood on their own. When the Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to bow down to the Tzelem, and they refused to do so, and he said he's going to throw them into a fiery furnace, and they were prepared to do it. So the Gemara said they learned the Kal Vachomer from that Tzvardeya. The Tzvardeya is not mitzvah on Kiddush Hashem. They are mitzvah, so they are mechuyev to give up their lives to go into the Tan. And then a miracle occurred, and they weren't consumed by the flames. Hanan and Mishael Azam are not consumed by the flames. So the Mefarshim on the Gemara, Tosus on the Gemara talks about it. What they have to dana Kal Vachomer? Isn't there a din of Yehareg Vayaver and Avodah Zarah? So what do they have to learn a Kal Vachomer from that Tzvadeh for? So Tosfos has a whole famous explanation, Mishem Rabbeinu Tam, on this. Rabbeinu Tam, the Gemara says, if they would have tortured Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah, they would have given in. They would have bowed down to the tzemach. The Tosfos says, but you're not allowed to. It's avodah zarah. The Tosfos says, Rabbeinu Tam comes up with a fantastic chiddush. He says the tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar was not avodah zarah. It looked like avodah zarah, but wasn't really. He didn't really deify it. He just wanted, out of kavod hamalchus, they should bow down to his tzemach. So Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah were being giving up their lives shalei kedin. They were volunteering. And the Rambam holds you're not allowed to do that. But the Balei HaTosfos hold you were. They were allowed to. The Balei HaTosfos, a lot of times historically, they gave up their lives, even al pidin, they weren't mechuyev to. So Tosfos in a few mesichtas expresses this opinion. That even when you're not mechuyev to, if you feel you'll accomplish a kiddush Hashem, it's not a violation of suicide. The Rambam holds, whenever you're not mechuyev to give up your life, it's a violation of suicide. You're not allowed to. And the Balei HaTosfos disagree. Rabbi Netam interprets in this Gemara that they learned the Kal V'chomer from that Tzvadeh. Tzvadeh was not Mechuyev. Tzvadeh was not Mechuyev to give up their lives. Tzvadeh only has enough seichel to know not to kill a human being. That's all. More than that, not Mechuyev. But intuitively, the Tzvadeh understood he has to give up a life to do the Ratzon Hashem. So Hanan Mishael Bazar, you volunteered also. The Rabbi Natam says, even though Meikar Adin, they weren't Mechuyev to give up their lives, because the Tzelem was not really an Avodah Zarah, but they felt they would accomplish a Kiddush Hashem. So that's what the Tosfos fits this in. That's why they were learning al Kal V'chomer from the Tzvadeh. They couldn't just say that's the din of Yehar Gval Yahweh, because it's not. It wasn't real Avodah Zarah. The other Rishonim are not happy with this Rabbeinu Tam, but if it's in better on this Gemara, M'sochem, that's why the Gemara said they learned from the Tzvadeh. Tzvadeh was not Mechuyev, and they were also not Mechuyev.
What's the status of a cow in its late stages of pregnancy is shechted, and then the uvor is removed from the cow? Does that uvor have to be shechted, or is it included in the mother's shechita?
I mean, HaTorah doesn't need its own shechita.
Okay.
Now, and the Rabbanan need shechita, yeah.
So let's say with the Araisa, if I now shech that uvor, and I mess up the shechita,
yeah.
Is that uvor still kosher?
Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't so, shechita at all.
And there's no Eber Menachai from that uvor.
Correct.
So if this uvor is born and I cut off the leg, and then I shecht it and I mess up the shechita, some of the Rabbanan, the shechita has no effect, or because I messed up the shechita, it's now an avela?
It's an avela. With the Rabbanan, you need shechita, it'll be an
so avela. The leg would be kosher. But the animal would be...
No. With the Rabbanan, you need shechita. You can't cut off the leg.
You can't cut off the leg.
You can't cut off the leg.
With the Araisa, you could.
Yeah.
So with the Araisa, the leg would be kosher, but the animal would be...
No, the rest of the animal would also be kosher. You don't need shechita at all.
So with the Rabbanan, you do need it.
The Rabbanan, they're both...
So the Rabbanan would say, you can't eat the
animal. Can't eat the leg and you can't eat the animal.
But the Araisa says you could eat the leg.
With the leg, with the animal, everything.
You can eat the leg.
No, you can eat everything. No, with the Araisa, you can eat the animal with the leg, everything.
But if you split the Araisa and the Rabbanan, maybe there's a way of doing it.
There's a fellow in Australia who's a big character. He wants to make, that's called a Ben Pekua.
Yeah.
So he wants to make a Ben Pekua farm. He wants to have, get a lot of male and female Ben Pekuas, and they should mate with each other. And if it's already the second generation, even with the Rabbanan, you don't